Hope of military talks with North Korea dashed on Friday as the deadline for negotiations with Seoul passes by without a word from Pyongyang. The proposal made by South Korea on Monday was designed to find ways to minimize hostilities on the border. And even though the North hasn't responded, Seoul says it's not too late.
What we know is it's about 4 million people between heroin and prescription drugs. And that's a pretty sizable number. When you look at the Fed's mandate, it's macroeconomic. They don't have a lot of impact or mandate to deal with social issues like this. But I think why this matters for the Fed is that A, they have a community outreach branch. And B, it lowers labor force participation. It matters for how much slack is left in the economy. If these people are totally unemployable, that means that the labor market's tighter.
I actually think that a gross slowdown or a recession would probably do the economy some good. Like a forest with dead wood. You clear out some of the dead wood and you prevent forest fires, and it's the same thing here. So, you know, slowdown's fine with me because it produces ultimately in the long term a healthier economy, as Minsky proved 5 or 10 years ago.
WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the program. Today is Friday. It's July 21st, 2017, 5:10 in the morning. Glad you're here for our Friday edition of The Opening Bell. We've got a great program for you coming up later in the show. A couple of big dates if you want to find some really cheap airfare coming up. Rick Cini will be here from faircompare.com. There are dates in August, so make sure you get a piece of paper and a pencil ready. We're also going to have some tips to you, just everyday tips on how you can save more on your airline ticket, especially if you may buy last minute. Paul Nolte's in the house as well. We're going to look over our portfolios and talk the economy, too. But first, on the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk this morning, futures are pointing to another flat open on Wall Street this morning. Dow futures off about 10 points. NASDAQ and S&P futures are pretty much sideways this morning. Crude oil at $47.12 a barrel. Around the globe in Asia this morning, markets are generally mixed in muted trading after the European Central Bank announced no changes to its stimulus policies. Japan's benchmark slipped just 0.2%. Australia is lower as well. South Korea lower rose just 0.3%. Hong Kong down a fraction. The Shanghai Composite also slipped a little bit. Yesterday on Wall Street, the S&P and NASDAQ again hitting record territories. The Dow Jones Industrials, however, fell about 30 points. The NASDAQ Composite rose about 0.1% to a record high. 6390 is where things ended up yesterday on the NASDAQ. A couple of stories we're following for you this morning. The Treasury Department says ExxonMobil Corporation must pay $2 million, a fine for showing reckless disregard, in their words, for U.S. sanctions on Russia while Secretary of State Rex Tillerson was the CEO there. Treasury said that Exxon violated sanctions when it signed contracts in May of 2014 with Russian oil magnate Igor Sechin, the chairman of the government-owned energy giant there, Rosneft. The U.S. blacklisted Sechin, Tillerson's longtime business associate, as part of its response to Moscow's actions in Ukraine and the annexation of Crimea. Microsoft's cloud computing business helped boost its fourth quarter revenue and earnings above Wall Street's expectations, further validating a strategy pushed by the CEO since he took over in 2014. Microsoft reported that its cloud business revenue, which includes its Azure platform, grew 11% year over year. Here in Illinois, the unemployment rate increased slightly in June, while non-farm payrolls increased by about 9,000 jobs. The Illinois Department of Employment Security reported the preliminary data yesterday from the U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics. It is Friday, and that means it's Paul Nolte Day. Paul Nolte from Kingsview Asset Management is here in the house this morning. He's a senior portfolio manager and SVP at Kingsview Asset Management in Chicago. Good morning, Paul.
Good morning, Steve. Nice to be with you again.
Glad to have you here. What would you say is the biggest story of the week?
You know, it's been a very quiet week from an economic perspective. Very little data points were put out. Housing a little bit better, but in general, the trend has been to weaker than expected or lower than expected economic data. And we've had a lot of earnings. You highlighted Microsoft here. We had IBM that was weaker earlier, FedEx and others. We're getting into the meat of the earnings season starting really next week. We had the banks a week ago. They were not all that fabulous. So we're, again, the markets are looking at What is coming out of central banks? We had Mario Draghi talking yesterday. No more rate increases. And more, and actually, when you look at the U.S. Fed, the chances now of a December rate hike are now below 50%. So the equity markets are liking the low interest rate environment, continued easy money, not only here but around the world. And so investors are looking at saying, where can I get a return? It has to be in the equity market. So I'm putting money to work in stocks. And that's part of the reason why stocks continue to grind ever slowly higher.
Yeah, a couple of records this week. As a matter of fact, it seems like every day there was a new record with the S&P and the NASDAQ, especially almost like nothing can impact the markets at all.
No, and that's one of the things that we're seeing right now. There's really no exogenous outside the market shocks. We don't have it. You know, there was rumors running around that Trump was going to be indicted earlier in the week, and the market sold off about 50, 60 points immediately after that news broke. And then slowly recovered throughout the day when they realized, okay, that's going to take some time. It may not happen. And then again, well, let's get back to the economic data and earnings data, and it tends to be okay. So investors are very quietly moving more money into the market. So we're, like I said, we're grinding higher here. As we've talked about for a long time, valuations are still very expensive in the markets. You know, it could very well be a balloon waiting, you know, running around looking for a pin. But right now, things look okay.
Yeah, that's some people have that view. Others, though, don't. I mean, others seem to be just kind of free-willing on this, aren't they?
They are. And a lot of it goes back to monetary policy. Monetary policy, although the Fed has raised rates now four times over the last 2 years, when you look at the financial conditions or stress, the stress index that St. Louis Fed puts out, those levels are actually below where they were when the Fed started raising rates. So financial stress is even less than it was when Fed started raising rates, and monetary policy is generally seen as easier today than it was when the Fed started raising rates. So as odd as that sounds, the markets and investors are reacting to more what's happening in the economy and more what's happening with monetary policy and interest rates in general than they are to what the Fed is really talking about.
From ABC News, Wall Street Now, tech companies led the NASDAQ to another record high close yesterday, although by only 5 points. The composite stood at 6390 at the end of the session. The S&P 500 slipped at the closing bell. The Dow Jones Industrial Average lost 29 points to finish at 21611. Sears shares jumped nearly 20% after the beleaguered retailer announced it would begin selling its Kenmore appliances on Amazon, including smart appliances that can be synced with Amazon's voice assistant, Alexa. A deadly fire in England has some U.S. buildings under scrutiny. Inspectors are having a closer look at a hotel in Baltimore and at First Energy Stadium, home of the Cleveland Browns. Both have exterior panels similar to those found on London's Grenfell Tower, where 80 people died in a fire last month. And the Treasury Department has fined ExxonMobil $2 million for ignoring U.S. sanctions on Russia while Rex Tillerson was running that company. Tillerson, of course, now is Secretary of State. Jim Ryan, ABC News.
You're listening to The Opening Bell on 720 WGN.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome back to the program. 522, Paul Nolte is here from Kingsview Asset Management. Paul, we mentioned Sears, and at your urging, I went back and looked at the chart here going back 5-6 years. Sears has had better days.
It looks like a ski slope.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah, it was starting at about $70 a share a few years ago on its way down below 10. So when people say, oh my gosh, it was up 25% yesterday, that's a big move for one day. But in the context of where it's been, it's barely a blip on the longer term chart.
When you think of, when you hear of this strategy of selling Kenmore on Amazon, where Amazon is pretty much partly or mostly to blame for retail's failings, one could argue. What kind of thinking is that, and is it going to provide sustained growth needed to save a company like Sears?
You know, Sears, I think, is kind of a special case. They have been run by Eddie Lampert now for almost or a little over a decade, and really he has not done a very good job with Sears and the Sears brand. He's a lot more interested in the real estate that Sears owns, that the stores are on, than he is in running the retail operations. And he really has not had a good operator in their handling Sears. Is it a good strategy? It very well could be. It could be a way to get other channels for distribution. It could work. But I think, given the experience that we've seen with how he's handled things in the past, I think he's grasping at straws at this point.
You know, one of the things that was compared yesterday, they sold the Black & Decker unit off, hoping to make money off that. That's really not come to fruition at all. There was no really noticeable blip from that. JCPenney, by the way, is starting to sell toys in their stores, so I don't know what the model is going to be here for these big department stores.
Right, and that's what I said. They're all kind of grasping to try to figure out what the new landscape is and what can we do to be different, to get closer to the consumer, get people in the door to buy stuff here as opposed to a couple clicks on your computer.
You made me laugh during the last break, Paul. If you go to Google right now and type in, "Will stock market ever..." It does what?
It'll finish up for you and say, "Ever go down." So it's been 2 weeks. This is the second week in a row, or second week, that the markets have gone up every day, especially the NASDAQ. And when you look back over time, that necessarily hasn't been a bad thing. So when the market does finally go down, if you look out a month after that occurs, the market's up another 1%, 1.5%. So it's a sign of strength in the market, not that the fact that the end is here. But we're looking at the markets from the perspective that we may be in what I'm calling a melt-up period, where everybody is starting to realize the markets are going up. And why are they going up? Because people are buying. Why are they buying? Because the market's going up. And you're getting into that circular argument, and that's what we're seeing in the markets here. And it can last for a while. Before reality, economic reality or earnings reality hits sometime, maybe later this year, maybe next year.
And you describe that as melt-up.
Melt-up as opposed to a melt-down, yes, where just, the market's open, let's buy. So that's what we're kind of looking at here.
You mentioned earlier, just touched on it, the dollar, and I'm kind of curious about international stocks and especially currencies, international currencies. Are there any bright spots internationally for us as we check our portfolio?
Oh, we've been investing in the international market now for well over a year. We like the international markets going back to valuations. Valuations are much cheaper internationally, especially in the emerging markets area. Growth opportunities are much stronger there than they are in the U.S. One of the comparisons I like to make is Siemens and General Electric. They're in a lot of the same businesses, very similar type of companies, but Siemens is selling much cheaper than GE, paying you a much larger dividend, and the stock has performed very well, and part of it is the fact that you're getting a boost from the weaker dollar. How much longer does the dollar weaken? You throw darts at a dartboard to figure that out, but the trend definitely is to a lower dollar, and we think that can continue for a while. We're seeing strength in the European Union. We are seeing strength in a lot of the emerging markets, especially, again, relative to the U.S.
We had a conversation earlier this week about impact investing, investing in companies that are making an impact socially with their communities. If an investor came to you and said, "Hey, this is what I want to put money in," how would you advise them on that?
You know, I do have some clients who are socially conscious investors, and some of them, it hits the gamut. And again, each one is a little bit different about what they will invest in, won't invest in, and what their desires are to achieve. There are a lot more opportunities today than there were 20, 30 years ago as far as investment choices. There are a lot more mutual funds, ETFs. That are more investing in those types of companies. They will screen them out for tobacco and firearms, et cetera. And again, depending on how narrow or how broad you are as far as your social investing desires, you can find a lot more investments now. And they're not poor investments. It used to be, if you were a social investor, you gave up returns in exchange for doing that. Today, not so much anymore.
So people can make a few bucks if they're into that. Yeah.
And one of the other ways to go at it, too, and I've told clients the same thing, is, you can go ahead and invest in the best companies and make a fortune and then take those fortunes and donate it as you wish.
Sure.
So there's a couple different ways to do it. You can invest socially, or you can invest like you would normally invest and take those profits and turn those over to social causes that you believe in.
Big plans for the weekend?
It's going to be kind of a quiet weekend, getting together with some family. Haven't seen in a while, so it should be a fun weekend. Looking forward to it.
Well, good. Have a good, safe, happy weekend, and we'll see you next week.
You do likewise. Thank
All
you.
Right. Paul Nolte from Kingsview Asset Management in Chicago. You can find out more at kingsview.com, and Paul's here every Friday.
From ABC News, Tech Trends, ladies, how do you keep your man busy at the mall while you shop? It's a fairly common tale. A husband gets bored and antsy while shopping with his wife, but one shopping mall in China is attempting to ease the suffering with something it calls husband pods.
It's just so funny to me, the whole thing. It's basically like daycare for husbands in some ways.
And Gadget's Dana Wallman describes them as a phone booth-like glass enclosure equipped with a comfortable chair, monitor, and a game pad.
Making for sort of a very public man cave where basically anyone can just see you hanging out there.
And what do guys do in these public man caves?
Inside these pods, they can play video games. It's basically it.
They're free to use.
But I think they're also testing an option where you'd be able to pay and presumably get more access.
And the biggest complaint about husband pods so far? Poor ventilation and no air conditioning.
They get out of there sweaty, and then presumably their wives don't want to kiss them.
With Tech Trends, I'm Daria Albinger, ABC News.
WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome back to the program. If you've been putting off that summer trip, there's some good news. Airline ticket prices are going to start dropping in late August for both U.S. and international flights. Rick Cini is the founder and CEO of FareCompare.com out of Dallas. He's with us this morning, as he is every Friday morning. Rick, is it a magic month coming up, or just some specific magic dates?
Well, you have the magic month, but there's actually specific days that are even better. I like to call them magic dates. They happen a handful of times throughout the year, and that's when either prices go up pretty dramatically or down. We're about to hit one that comes down pretty dramatically, and they're right next to each other, August 21st and 22nd. August 21st is when international travel tends to drop pretty dramatically, 22nd for domestic travel. It roughly corresponds with kids going back to school. Demand starts to drop a little bit. That means the inventory systems of the airlines start to kick in some of the cheaper prices. Seasonal airfare prices kick in as well. And so it's a really good time to be shopping right now, especially for the last week in August and all the way through really Thanksgiving time.
We all like sales and cheap fares. How cheap are we talking?
Well, the price drops can be pretty dramatic, between around 12% all the way up to 30 to 35%. On the upper end of that range, it's when you have departures on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Saturday. And on the bottom end of that range is departures for Monday, Friday, and Sunday, which are a little more expensive.
And the good part of this is both international and domestic.
Exactly. I was actually looking at a bunch of different flights, and it's pretty amazing. I mean, some of those flights into Europe are in the $600, $700 range round trip, a variety of them. And then domestically, you can get coast to coast from a variety of places, well under $200 round trip, in many cases under $150 round trip. I'll give you examples like San Francisco, Los Angeles, and the $160 round trip range. If you're going out to the East Coast, New York City, under $140 round trip, same for Washington, D.C. Even into South Florida and sort of mid-eastern Florida, the prices are under $160 round trip after those dates.
You mentioned that these dates could be either higher or lower. What do you think, and you kind of touched on this earlier, is the main reason we're seeing it lower?
Well, I think a couple things. I think, first of all, it's more pronounced in Chicago because there's a lot more competition. That's good. That's good news. It's one of the cheapest cities to fly out of. But on the flip side, oil prices have been relatively low. I think, again, for those prices, the demand drops generally during that time frame, and they have to fill up the back of particular aircraft. Business travelers tend to be a little less likely to fly during that time. So just generally, that's why you see prices drop during that time frame. Now, prices will go up pretty dramatically for departures right around Thanksgiving and the last week in December, which you shouldn't really necessarily be thinking about right now, unless, for example, you're going the Wednesday before Thanksgiving and returning the Sunday after. Then you should be shopping for that right now.
August 21st and 22nd. I got this on my calendar. I understand you have some more tips to help cost
cut even more. What would those be?
Yeah, so, I mean, a couple different things. The most airfare sales are filed Monday night. All the other airlines see that Tuesday morning. They start to match those airfare prices. Maximum number of cheapest seats for sale fares are between Tuesday and Thursday, Tuesday being sort of the afternoon being the cheapest time to buy that ticket. Also, you want to start shopping about 3 months before departure, and definitely do not buy your tickets inside of 1 month before departure. If you're inside 1 month, and by the way, most people do procrastinate inside of 1 month. Airlines have over a decade of digital history. They know exactly when we like to procrastinate, and they use that information to maximize seat costs.
So let's see, that's two. What are some others there? What would you recommend?
Well, a couple different things. I mean, I think for the most part, if you're trying to just get out of town and find a good deal, then you could always find a good deal, but it may be a little bit different. If it's this coming weekend or the weekend after, if you're trying to find a weekender, then you want to actually look at packages, for example. Typically, packages with air and hotel or air and car are cheaper at the last minute, for example, than actually looking at a la carte airfare. If you're looking a little bit longer range, 2 to 3 months is a perfect time to start shopping and looking at, so your advance purchase window should be around anywhere over 30 days to about, you know, sort of 70 to 80 days for domestic, and then a little bit longer window if you're flying internationally. But, you know, certain cities, for example, if you have a low-cost airline, for example, traveling into Europe, there's some matching prices that are going on. Delta, United, American will match some of these other ultra-low-cost airlines. So be sure to check not only the ultra low cost airlines, but check the other airlines are matching as well.
And this is the beauty of Fair Compare. I'll give you a plug here. You can go on the website and set what you want it to find, and it'll tell you, it'll send back alerts. What's the beauty of having something like that in place to prevent procrastination?
Yeah, so, I mean, to be honest, information is your best bet when it comes to that. Having alerts, knowing when prices drop, knowing sort of all the different magical dates that occur ahead of time, being proactive, just generally the number one mistake people make is they procrastinate, and they get to the point where they procrastinate, and they either give up because the price is too expensive inside of 30 days, or they end up overpaying for their airline ticket, and airlines depend on that.
And the other part of this, too, because I'm a big procrastinator, is you get frustrated and give up, and then you hear like a week later that sometime during that week or whenever the price suddenly dropped really quickly.
Yeah, no, inventory is very volatile on some routes, so it's all done by automated computer systems in theory. And I know a lot of people do, they actually shop and they say, well, you know, I shopped a few minutes ago, the price was completely different. Those inventory systems will push in cheaper inventory and pull out inventory quickly. It's on different days at different times of day, different types of routing. Nonstops tend to be much more expensive than connecting flights, and you just need to sort of weigh all those things in order to get the best price at the convenience you're looking for.
Rick, we've given a lot of attention this week to Ann Coulter and Delta Airlines. I know you've seen that story. Do you have any thoughts on that whole situation?
Well, I mean, you know, the couple takeaways I would take from that. First of all, airlines think it's important to monitor their brand traffic on Twitter. So if you do have a grievance and you have an issue with an airline and you're not getting able to get anybody on the phone or anything, that's a perfect place to do it. They usually try to take you offline. I wouldn't suggest having a Twitter tirade necessarily. But in general, this is just a general issue with overbooking or selling something and then taking it away from somebody. They get upset. And when they get upset, you get a bunch of craziness that ensues with that. So remember, 2 million passengers fly each day. There's all sorts of things that happen each day, and all it takes is a couple of these weird incidences to spiral out of control.
You mentioned some cheap fares earlier, Rick, but do you have any specific places where we could go?
Yeah, a couple different things. I always like to sort of look this time of year to see what, because it's a perfect time to sort of catch Canadian airfare. Montreal, Calgary, Vancouver, all down about 20% year over year. Those are pretty good prices as well. Even in the far northwest, Seattle is a little more expensive, but Portland actually has dropped about 30%. So the difference in price, for example, on August the 22nd to Portland and Seattle, Portland $160 round trip, Seattle $320. Round trip. So the place you pick is important.
All right, Rick, happy travels.
Hey, thanks.
Rick Cini is the founder and CEO of FairCompare.com in Dallas. You can follow him on Twitter at Rick Cini and at FairCompare. Again, those dates are August 21st and 22nd. Big sales on airline tickets internationally
and domestically.
You're listening to The Opening Bell on 720 WGN.
Good morning. Welcome back to the program. 551 on the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk. Dow futures now off 30 points. NASDAQ and S&P futures lower as well. NASDAQ futures now lower by about 11. They were in the single digits earlier. Dow futures were flat earlier. Crude oil is at $46.73 a barrel. Gold, silver are up this morning. Let's get more on agriculture and commodities now. Good morning, Orion Samuelson.
Good morning, Steve, and greetings from WGN West, where we are in the midst of a monsoon season that is producing some heavy rains in the desert and some very high humidities. We're at 46% humidity this morning in the desert, and that's definitely unusual. So we're putting up with some flooding and, of course, tragedy that you saw perhaps last week with the two families of 10 people who were caught in a flash flood, and were killed. So it's a different time of the year, but it happens every year about this time in the Southwest.
Well, I think we're at 175% humidity here, so we've got enough for you if you want to borrow some, Orion.
I don't think we need any more because the natives out here are complaining about the level of humidity that we're having at the moment. Concern by a lot of friends of mine in the cattle business out here because the supply of beef is continuing to go up, the number of cattle going up. Today we're going to get the monthly cattle on feed report. And we're getting estimates on what that will say. The folks at Allendale, that's the market analyst company headquartered at McHenry, Illinois, looking for an increase of the number of cattle on feed the 1st of July being up 3% from a year ago. Number of cattle placed on feed up 6.4% from a year ago, and the number of cattle marketed at a 4.5% increase over a year ago. So they are looking for what would be the largest June placement of cattle into feedlots in 5 years. And June placements, of course, provide the cattle that will be processed in the December through March period of later this year.
Orion, I know we were talking about your rains there, but farmers in the Dakotas, in Montana, up in that area, they're really starting to get nervous now, aren't they, about these drought conditions?
Well, yeah, they are. They've been nervous for the last month, and rightfully so, because if you look at the National Drought Monitor map every week that is put out by the National Weather Service, that drought area is getting bigger and spreading, and already, of course, we've seen what's happened to the spring wheat market. We're looking at prices that we haven't seen for a long time in that wheat market, and yeah, you're right, it's not getting any better. And of course, at this point in time, we're beginning to pretty much wrap up winter wheat harvest. So spring wheat will probably be the lowest in about 15 years because of weather conditions.
Also, big weekend. We're starting all the county fairs and state fairs right around the corner as well.
Indeed it is. Let me run through some of the county fairs that are on this weekend, particularly in Illinois and in southern Wisconsin. But in Illinois, underway now through Sunday, Heart of Illinois Fair, that's at Peoria. The Rock Island County Fair taking place at East Moline. The Iroquois County Fair down at Crescent City. The Kane County Fair, that's the first close one to the Chicago area. That's in St. Charles on Route 47. And that fair goes through Sunday at the Kane County Fairgrounds at St. Charles. And then we also have the Elizabeth County Fair out at Elizabeth, Illinois. And that's just a quick summary of some of the fairs. Wisconsin, if you want to go north across the state line, the Waukesha County Fair is on this weekend. That takes place up at Waukesha, Wisconsin, just across the line. And if you want to go to the Swiss cheese country, head for the Rock County Fair at Janesville and the Washington County Fair at West Bend. So lots of fairs that are underway this weekend. And the Wisconsin State Fair will be the first state fair on the state level, and it gets underway August 3rd and goes through the 13th. So a lot of fair activity, and we continue to have a lot of outdoor farm equipment shows and antique farm equipment shows. A lot going on, indeed.
Go have a corn dog and a lemon shake up. Tell them Orion sent you. Orion, have a great weekend.
Thank you. You too, my friend.
Orion Samuelson. Make sure you listen to Orion and Max tomorrow morning, bright and early, right here on WGN, the morning farm show on Saturday. Always a good listen for you. Also, today, as we close out the program here on the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk Outlook, no major government reports today. Some earnings out: General Electric, Honeywell, Colgate, Palmolive, and Moody's. Keep your eyes peeled for companies that did report earnings yesterday. One of them, especially eBay, could drop as much as 4% after the opening bell later on this morning. Investors reacting to what was a lackluster earnings report. Microsoft and Visa also reported earnings on Thursday. Shares in both firms are edging up in the pre-market. Also today, the National Science Foundation, the National Center for Atmospheric Research, and NASA will hold a news conference in Colorado. They will talk about the upcoming solar eclipse on August 21st. The report today, the news conference today, will talk about how they're going to be doing science involved with the eclipse, ground-based telescopes, GPS sensors, radio receivers, all of the things that will be deployed for the big solar eclipse next month, August 21st. Of course, it'll pass through southern Illinois. We will actually be there for that. August 21st in Carbondale, we'll do the opening bell from down in southern Illinois and have coverage of the event as it unfolds down in southern Illinois. Again, August 21st. A couple of other things today. The National Association of Police Organizations holds its annual convention in New York. The British Open gets underway, continues, I should say, in Southport, Merseyside, United Kingdom.